Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's going on?
Hello.
Hello. So, you know, we've always recapped Bravo stuff, but lately, over the past several weeks, we have expanded into new territory, including Netflix. And so we are recapping Great British Bake Off, or the Great British Baking Show, depending on what side of the pond you're on. So if you missed our first episode, that was last week, and now we are here for week two, Biscuit Week, on the Great British Baking Show. Are you ready to dive into this, Rondel?
Biscuit Week. Let's jump right in, Ben.
All right, let's jump in. So the episode opens up with Noel and Matt, our hosts, standing together like they're a couple, and introducing Biscuit Week. And they have some, like, they have a little funny thing where Matt's like, "Uncle Noel, I have some fun facts about biscuits. Do you mind if I share them? Did you know that biscuits were invented by Sir Maurice Biscuit in 1952? Over 40 biscuits a year are sold in Europe alone. Ha 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 ha."
"Did you know that in America, they're not even called biscuits? They're called sidewalks." Noel is wearing a shirt from Justice, who I guess only Americans will really get that, but it's like a little girl's cute, adorable store.
Yes.
And I want that shirt. I think I'm gonna veer into Noel land for my second half of life. You know, I'm going through a midlife crisis, and I think I'm gonna start shopping at Justice. I want to wear leggings and happy face. Listen, sweaters, like long dress sweaters. I'm in. Yeah.
Listen, here's what you do. You find a wig that maybe Tammy Knickerbocker would have worn, and then you find some big statement shirt and some tight pants, and you're set.
I'm in. I feel like I would look so... Well, I know that I look so good in eyeliner, first of all. I would probably add a little mascara, and yeah, fucking leggings that shit up. I would totally rock that. And I think I'm going to... I think I'll look like... If Tyne Daly was an art teacher.
You know, there was one season of this show where Noel wore some sort of like tiger sweatshirt or sweater, and it set the internet on fire. Everyone was like, "Where do you get that shirt? Where do you get that sweatshirt?" or whatever it was. And it was by Diesel, but like Diesel stopped making it, and everyone was like, "I want it, I want it." So he's kind of a fashion icon, and I think you could be a fashion icon too.
Yeah, I could totally do that. Yeah. So we start with the signature challenge. It's tight on time. A tropical technical and a brittle showstopper that leaves the whole tent anxious. So they've got to make some kind of tropical cookie. And this has to... What is it called? What is this? A Florentine, right?
Is
this
a Florentine? So the first challenge is... Well, everyone's coming back to the tent. And some of the contestants are talking to us. We have Linda, our favorite Linda, who's like, "Oh, it's a good morning. It's going to be another great day, and I'm excited. Oh, biscuits."
Linda, my favorite. If anyone even comes near Linda with the chopping block,
I was worried.
They better
for
back
Linda.
The fuck off. I know. I've get worried for Linda, too.
She did okay at the end.
Don't fuck with Linda.
Don't fuck with Linda. And then we have Sura, who's also one of my favorites, who's like, "Well, hopefully this week there'll be no more tears. My mom did say, no crying, no crying. And I don't know why you're crying, you stupid, stupid daughter of mine." And I said, "I shall not cry, mother."
So what's up with that? Does this show film while it's airing?
No, but... So normally the way the show works is that they come out to the countryside for the weekend, I think, and then during the week they go home. I'm assuming that she got to call home, and or maybe like her mom was with her, because I also learned that someone said in our group that I guess when they quarantined in their bubble, they had some family members with them. But either way, I'm sure she told her mom, "I was crying," you know.
Oh. And Lottie's terrified, absolutely terrified. Trust me, the Florentine is more scared of you. Like Lottie on the eyeliner you know, subject. Lottie has very threatening eyeliner. She wears eyeliner as a threat.
Yeah. It's very Linda Fiorentino, right?
Yeah. And then my little Macaulay Culkin and Pete. Oh. He's like, biscuits, the quarter trick.
He probably goes and says that everywhere. Like, he walks in the grocery store, biscuits, they're quite a trick, am I right? Everywhere. And then Mac, I knew Mac was doomed. He goes, well, you know, my plan is I just want to get through. I just want to get, you know, I'd like to get Star Baker. That's what I would like. Okay, you're going home. You're going home, Mac. You dare to dream.
The only thing I need in life is to be Star Baker one time. I was like, oh yeah, you're fucked.
You're fucked. So now, for the first challenge, the showstopper, whatever it's called, you have to make a batch.
It's the signature.
Signature challenge.
How dare you?
Signature challenge. You have to make a batch of 36 chocolate Florentines.
Interesting fact, Florentines were originally called Florentines.
They need to be uniform of shape, texture, and color. They have to have a perfect snap, and they can be dipped, coated, or decorated in chocolate, but they must be chocolate present.
And Prue comes in dressed in a virus dress. I mean, it looked like a pink virus. I don't know how else to really explain it.
Today I came dressed as coronavirus.
Yeah. Prue is dressed in a pink version of the pandemic. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. And so she starts talking about Florentines, and she's like, oh, we're kicking off Florentines. It's a really good classic Florentine. It consists of nuts and dried fruit pound in a caramelly buttery mixture, and they're fattening, but they're gorgeous.
They have to get the caramel right, the filling right. Dark chocolate is the way forward. Can we just get Paul Hollywood for president? I want to hear that every time I turn on the fucking TV. Chocolate is the way forward.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's my update on coronavirus in America. Dark chocolate is the way forward. Thank you.
Now, notice I left out dark. Okay, so a lot of people talked about chocolate, dark chocolate versus milk taste, chocolate. Right?
Good taste.
And someone was like, you know, I agree, milk chocolate is better, but the American milk chocolate really does suck lately. You're right, it does. And I read that comment, and I was like, you know, I ate a lot of chocolate, and I guess I noticed it with Ben & Jerry's years ago when Ben & Jerry's was bought out.
Yeah.
Their ice cream all started tasting very different because they just started using different crap in there, okay? Whatever happened to just good chocolate? And so I went to the old 7-Eleven, okay, mm-hmm. local 7-Eleven, and I got one of those peanut butter Snickers because I'd never had one. And okay. I was like, I'm going to test this. It tasted like chemicals. You're right. And now I'm ruined for chocolate. I guess I have to buy my chocolate from Cost Plus World Market.
It's true. Because mm-hmm. if you have like a Hershey's Kiss or a Hershey's bar, it tastes kind of like... I mean, it tastes like nice. It's chocolate, right? But it's still kind of like powder. It has like that weird mouthfeel. It's sort of like, you're like, But then if you were to have like milk chocolate from like a year, like even Canadian milk chocolate, just get out of America and you're like, oh my God, this is delicious. It's delicious.
Yeah, I got to get away from the corn syrup or whatever crap we use.
There's a whole thing.
America.
When Cadbury was like bought by Hershey's or whoever bought Cadbury like 10 years ago, there was like an uproar. And because they use different, I forget what it is. I want to say it's not fillers. It's like there's just something in the chocolate that's at a different ratio.
Chemicals. So they start with Pete. They go check on Peter, and he's making something I loved in my childhood: hogs from Mum. Also sticky toffee pudding, caramel dates. You have those to love. And then we get the narrator going. After pounding the trails, Pete likes to replace the lost calories with heavy calorie fare. And we get to see Pete biking with his brother. He sure loves his brother.
He sure does. Well, you know what he says about biscuits. I actually forgot what he said about biscuits. Remember I said he always says that. Oh my God. Jesus, Siri.
What was that?
I said, you be quiet, Siri. I wasn't even talking to you. I literally said, well, you know what he said about biscuits. And I couldn't remember what we said. That I said, oh, he probably goes everywhere and says that about biscuits. And then I couldn't remember. And then Siri's like, let me help. I'm like, no, Siri, you're not on the podcast.
Would you like me to search the internet for you? No, I don't. Okay.
I also thought
But don't be mean to Siri, because you know they're going to rule the world one day and kick all our asses. I've been watching a lot of Netflix lately.
Yeah, they will. So I like that Peter said, He's like, my sticky toffee Florentines are inspired, in my opinion, by the best pudding in the world, sticky toffee pudding. I'm like, do you have... I mean, sticky toffee pudding is delicious, but I love how he has this, like, declaration of what's the best pudding in the world. Like, do you know what I think is the best pudding in the world? Sticky toffee pudding!
And Prue's like, will they be thin and have a snap? That's the right answer. Or will they be squishy and chewy? Don't make the wrong answer, bike man. And he's like, I'm hoping chewy and snappy. What do you think of that? My answer was the best answer in the world. Just like the best pudding in the world is sticky toffee pudding.
So then I move on to Sura, who's making something Iranian-inspired. It's going to have toasted almonds and pistachios and rose water and saffron, and she's going to serve it with tea. And as far as I can tell, it's not based on the best pudding in the entire world, sticky toffee pudding.
When key worker Sura needs to unwind, she branches out with sticky toffee pudding. No. Yoga, Peter. Sit down, please.
So something inferior. That's not the best in the world.
Yoga toffee pudding? No, Peter.
Let Sura have her moment. Let her do her damn yoga already.
So Noel comes to check on her cookies, and he's like, oh, how are you doing? Are you going to do that again? The old whoosh, dropping the cookies. Are you going to do that again? The old knocking over someone's work. Are you going to do that again?
She's like, no. No, and?
Just I you're over there in the corner, rubbing your hands and laughing like this.
She is not having it. She's like, I will not laugh at this.
He cracks me up that one.
Yeah, he is really funny. And she's talking about how she had a nightmare about Paul. And he's like, well, I had a dream about Paul. He was just in an apron. It was pretty powerful. And then they cut to Dave. Because, you know, like, for some reason, Dave is the one I hate the most. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, there's something about him that, like, really bothers me. And they just cut to him, like, rage slicing butter. He's, like, chopping, like, pats of butter. He's like,
I feel like Dave is nice. I mean, he seems to be nice and everything, but he's the first person in traffic to call an old lady who cut him off a C word. You know what I mean? This is that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, don't forget that his celebrity bust was a member of Blink-182.
So now we go over to Linda. And she's like, my Florentines are one of my sister's favorites. She had a sweet tooth when we were kids. My mom would turn her back and I would get her sweets. I would sneak her sweets.
Did you get her sticky toffee pudding? Because it's the best pudding in the entire world.
At the end of a good day's weeding, green-fingered Linda and her partner Richard love nothing more than a good punt in their shed.
A good pint, yeah. And then they're just, like, sitting there.
I had to rewind. I had to turn on closed captioning because I was like, what is a punt? I looked it up. I was like, what is a good punt? Like, Linda is dirty.
Yeah.
Not Linda dirty. Like, I just want a good punt.
Well, you know, me sister and all, I'd give her those sweets, and afterwards I'd go give myself a good punt. You know what I'm saying? So she's using Brazil nuts and hazelnuts and pecans for hers. And then we go to young Mark, who's doing something. He has all these giant macadamia nuts, and Mark's career has taken him around the globe, but when at home in Liverpool, he likes to bake for his wife and friends. I'm like, well, then what does that have to do with being going around the globe, okay? One thing has nothing to do with the nut, the other, sir.
And he's making dried mango, macadamia, and white chocolate. None of that sounds good to me. Well, wait.
There's a macadamia lot of mango nuts. You know,
which ones are macadamia nuts?
They're like the big and chunky. They're big. I actually find macadamia nuts are like a little overrated.
Wait, we've talked about this before, and then macadamia nuts.
They're sort of they're large. They almost look angular, but they're round at the same time.
I like these. These are the Hawaiian ones, right?
Yeah, they're Hawaiian. They're good, but I always feel like they're not as good as they should be.
I like the they need to be like roasted with honey and shit. But yeah, I like these ones. I always get them confused with the gigantic nut.
Mm, the Brazil nut.
The Brazil nut. Oh, yeah,
that's what
that
Linda's
nut
using.
Is offensive.
Linda's using a Brazil nut.
Linda. I believe in you.
What do we think young Mark does that he has to go all around the world? I feel like he's like the sidekick in like a James Bond movie. Like he's the one who shows up in the backseat of some car and is like, here you go. Here's some shoes that are also, you know, like key lock openers or something.
Like I don't know. I, I don't know. I feel like he's the only one who doesn't work for the city.
Linda doesn't even seem to work herself, by the way. Linda, she was sitting on the beach.
Girl. Linda's gardening, having punts in her garden, some dirty punts with her husband, and then she's like going to the beach and shit. Linda ain't working?
No, she's not. She's not. She's just like living that retired life.
Yeah, she's like sneakily giving her sister diabetes over there or something. Yeah.
So we also learned that like three other bakers are using mango as well, including Ermine, which by the way, last week I was saying Ermine, but it's Ermine, Mac and Dave. They're all using mango, and Mac is using dried mango. And then it says, not content with work, baking, and taking care of his family, Mark has taken the time to write a novel. And then we see him at a typewriter and being like, first draft is done. I'm like, why are you at a typewriter, sir?
Oh, this is Mac, yeah. He's like, done, I'm done. I've just finished my first draft on titty.
I'm like, you spill one glass of water on that thing and it's gone forever because you typed it on a typewriter like you were from 1936.
I know. Thanks a lot, Angela Lansbury.
I know.
Like, how long is this going to take to edit?
Yeah, no wonder why you're so bad at molding biscuits, because you're too busy typing your crime saga on an antiquated piece of technology.
Mac, we'd like this chapter amended. Sorry, it's already typed.
Does it have white out?
You type it.
So yeah, he's doing mango, cumin, and cashew Florentines. And he warns us that he's never decorated his Florentines before, so we know that's gonna be a disaster.
Yes. But the bakers, will they use molds or go freehand? The judges will demand perfection. Mm? So then we see Lottie, who of course is like, fuck it, I'm skipping it.
Yeah. She's going wild. She's being really wild. And yeah. Laura,
she's got the eyeliner of a scooper.
Scooper eyeliner. Scooper aesthetic.
It's like some I don't give a fuck eyeliner. She's like, I'm scooping it.
I'm doing it crazy. And then Laura, she's like, well, I don't want them too chunky because then they won't snap. And then you see her batter, and it's just like the chunkiest batter of the entire tent. It's just like all like knobby with like nuts. It's like a big granola pile.
At home in Kent, Laura's not only a baker, she shares her passion in pizza oven with Matt.
And they make a pizza, and it looked delicious.
It did look delicious. So then we go to Lottie, and she's making Florentine for the grandparents. And then we see her having to visit the grandparents because, you know, you can't see older people. Like, you can't go visit them.
Yeah.
And so you have to wave at them. And it's so sad because they come out on the balcony, and they're like, hello again down there, eyeliner. Hello. Thanks for coming, boy. Wash your face.
Lottie, we got a package for you. It's something about Viking death metal. We'll just send it down on a rope.
It reminds me of going to visit my poor Mima, because she's in the home and we can't go see her, you know. So sometimes we'll go get her schlotskis, mm-hmm. and we can just take it to the sliding door, and then the guy at a little table at the front door takes it, and then we wait for her to come down. She's like, come on in. Like, we can't come in. Well, why can't you come in? Come on, come. You're just going to leave it there? We're like, yes, we're just going to leave it. We're not allowed. It's like we make her sad every time we go over there.
Is schlotskis a sandwich?
You don't know what a schlotskis is?
No, schlotz. I don't, because I can't tell if it's a place where you get your muffler fixed or a place where you get a hero.
Schlotskis does sound like a muffler place. Yeah, it's a sandwich shop. It's kind of like a Subway, you know, like a Subway, but better.
Okay. Well, I'll have to try it next time I'm in Texas.
They love making a round sandwich.
I like a round sandwich. I like like a Kaiser roll.
Yeah, well, they make their own bread, so it's kind of their own version of that.
Okay,
settle down.
Well, they make their own bread, so...
Well, there's no hamburger bun. Let's watch our mouths.
Lottie's whole thing is that she's going to be doing, like, Jackson Pollock splashes of decoration on there, and Noel's like, will they be uniform? And Paul goes, a uniform mess. Like, okay.
She's like, yes, a uniform mess, sir. So then Matt announces that they're halfway through. He's like, you're exactly halfway through your lives.
Sorry, Peter. That's all right. I've already lived a full life now that I've had the world's best pudding. Sticky toffee pudding.
We call it I could die now pudding.
So now the Florentines are all going into the oven, and but Ermine is still, she's still molding her. She's like behind, and then we hear, born and raised in West Africa on her mother's pineapple farm, Ermine moved to London 20 years ago and is studying to be an accountant.
Yeah, and she's, yeah, using the mangoes with almonds and ruby chocolate. And she's like, I'm worried about the snap. Paul Hollywood likes a snap. I'll be nervous about that snap.
It's a lot of snap anxiety happening in this tent, to be honest.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Big news. Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
Yeah, you just go to peacocktv.com for free full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior.
Did you mean to sign up for Peacock? You can upgrade for even more and stream your favorites from the beginning, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, and my dear friend, Top Chef.
Plus, they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, and current shows, timeless classics, and timely updates included.
So go reach out to all your dear friends and say, hey, I'm having a party at my place and we're all watching Peacock. You should all come, even if you're not even famous. I mean, you love Bravo, that's why you're listening to this podcast in the first place, so sign up!
Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone. Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. So, Rowan's like, are they done yet, or are they not? Who can say? So they're all kind of testing, because they don't, you know, there's no uniform way to cook them. And so they're staring at the ovens, which is the most frustrating part of baking. I think we've all been there, just staring in that damn oven, and all hunched over.
Yes.
Your boobs touching your belly button.
Your knees locking up.
Yes.
Bruises forming on your shins.
Ankles cracking.
Yep. So then we hear a little bit more about Rowan. And so we see Rowan at home, and he's like basically pruning a flower off of a bush, which is exactly what you expect Rowan to be doing. And he's like, and it says, a king gardener himself, when he's not pruning, Roman can be found bringing out the shine on his large collection of antiques. In other words, he is a full older man gay stereotype.
I know, and I love it.
He's so
it's just
great.
Like, it's just Rowan standing there polishing a little tea kettle.
I know. And then he's like, well, just in case I was not enough of a dandy for you, Paul Hollywood, I do want to say that I'll be decorating my Florentines with little waistcoats in honor of my waistcoat collection, because I have an 18th century waistcoat that's been embroidered in France in about 1780. Paul's like, what the fuck?
Paul's not amused at all. He's like, if I hit this man with a pin, how much trouble will I be in? Anyone? And Matt's like, Paul, this is what posh people talk about, isn't it? Paul's like, over my head.
I don't understand these things. And then I got like mad at Paul. I was like, let the man enjoy his strange fixation with antique waistcoats that he wants portrayed as decorations on his Florentine.
I know. I was like, don't waistcoat shame Rowan, sir.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like gay bashing. It's like a specific niche of gay bashing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, very... oh, don't get waistcoats.
What does one do with a waistcoat that was sewn in 1780, by the way? What? Do you just have it on display?
Did they have polyester back then? Like, what is that thing made out of that it's still fine today?
I know. It's
no one ever spilled on it in all these years. I mean, that's a lot of years to have a waistcoat.
That's a long-lasting waistcoat, okay? Don't show it to Justin Timberlake, because then he's going to steal it.
I want to see Rowan spill something one time and see his reaction, because someone with a waistcoat from 1780 is not spilling shit. Tell you that much.
They're not. They're not. They also have a lot of disposable income, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what was he doing last week in his backyard? Was he catching bees?
No, that was doing in his backyard. He was doing something also out. Yeah, he was doing something in his yard.
Oh, he was playing his flute in his backyard.
That's right.
His magic flute.
Yes.
Okay, so Pete is baking his chocolate. And so we see him doing that. I don't know why I wrote it down.
It was good.
And then Noel goes over to Laura and he's like, I'd like to get in that. If I were an insect, I'd get into that like a hot tub. And then he leans over it. Please don't shake your hair into the food.
Yeah. Okay?
She's going to get a hair in that food and then get kicked off. And then what are you going to do, happy face dress?
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Get out of there, Tammy Knickerbocker. So then we go to old Mark, and he is going to be using ruby chocolate also, which I had not even heard of ruby chocolate, but it's a little bit more tart. It's like chocolate, but then it has that tart element coming through. And now a sculptor, Mark spent many years working as a landscape photographer, a passion he now shares with his youngest daughter, Rosie. And then they have like this old fashioned camera and they take a picture. And he's like,
well, kind of. I'm like, how much do you share? He aims it. He does everything. He's like, now press the clicker. And she does. And he's like, well done. Like, can you let the girl hold the camera? I mean, what the hell? She's been out there with you every damn day.
How is she going to learn?
Yeah.
She never will.
Well, not only is he using ruby chocolate, he's adding ginger to give his squares a kick. Okay, this is too many things I do not like in a cookie. Yeah. I don't want your strange tart chocolate. Okay?
Yeah, don't.
And I don't want your ginger.
And also, because they were square, they all looked like tiny little pizzas. I was like, yeah, I don't want up my Florentine to look like a pizza, even though they both have Italian heritage. I do not
want
that. Yes,
and I'm not a big fan of square pizza either. There, I said it.
I'm okay with square pizza. I'm okay with it. In fact, I just saw a picture of some square pizza yesterday, and it's made me want to have some square pizza, Detroit style.
Mm. I like Detroit style in general, but I don't know. Isn't Detroit the one that puts the sauce on top of the cheese? They're like, oh we're going to do it different.
I'm don't
like,
remember. Well, great.
Now I have sauce all over my face.
I don't remember. I do, whatever pizza that is, it is kind of annoying. I don't like looking down at like a sea of
sauce. But it was delicious,
sauce.
Remember? We had that. It was delicious. But no, it's freaky to look at.
I don't think I had that pizza because I was in like...
You did.
Did I?
With me, yes. We went late night after a show one night and had it. And
well, there's the pizza place next to the Majestic. I remember that. I don't think I really had the pizza. I maybe had a bite, but I think I was attempting to be healthy that night. I hate when like my arbitrary health kick in. And I remember when we went to Baltimore, I was like, sorry, I can't have a crab cake. I'm on keto. And now I'm like, why the fuck did I not have a crab cake in Baltimore? So stupid.
Yeah, those are great. So Matt, let's see. Matt's like, oh, I've never seen a square before, so I'm very excited. I'm just learning shapes.
So now there's 30 minutes left, a lot of discussion, like what color are you going to put on your chocolate, how are you going to do your chocolate and all this stuff. Lottie is going to go for a standard dunk, and now it's 15 minutes left, and Linda is now she's making flowers for her Florentine, and she's like, I like making flowers. It's very therapeutic, and I strive to make them as thin as possible so it looks more realistic. I could think about having flowers with my husband while we have a pint in the shed.
15 minutes left, and Lottie's splattering her cookies, and she's like, I went to art school for this. And then Rowan's like, speed is the essence. 1 minute. And they're fanning and refrigerating everything.
Yeah. Dave is very happy with his. Of course he is. He's so smug, that Dave. Lottie's look amazing, by the way. They look amazing. And then you see Max, and he has, like, his decorations are basically my decorations. Like, whenever I try to do some sort of decoration, it's just, like, chunky and not filled in properly, and just, like, kindergarten-y.
Yeah, I'm not really a cookie queen either, I have to admit. Although I do make some good chocolate chip nut cookies. Mm. So, let's see. And I used to make macaron, but we'll get to that.
And then Dave is so fake, by the way, because Ermine's like, oh, well, mine didn't go well. And Dave's like, no, but they look good. And they have a close-up of hers, and they look crazy. I was like, you're lying, Dave. You're lying.
He's like, do more of that. More of that. Mm. So then judging, and it's the bakers will now be judged by Prue and Paul. So they start with Dave's feathered chocolate mango Florentine.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. He does a really good job decorating it, and there's a good snap, and Prue likes the dark chocolate. It's a nice biscuit.
Yes. Nuts and mango. But you just need some more texture. How could you need more texture? There's nuts and mango.
I know.
I don't understand. So then Mark...
I was going to say, I'm not sure where I land with chocolate and mango, I have to say. And there was a lot of it this episode. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Maybe I need to try it, but I don't know. It doesn't work for me on the page.
Well, chocolate's good with everything. I'm not a huge fan of fruit in my dessert in general. I'm not a big fruit fan. But you know what? There's a whole world out there that I'm just not living, okay? So next up is Mark with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's like, looks a bit lumpy. And Prue's like, yes, I remember worrying about your two large nuts. And everyone starts cracking up.
Yeah. Everyone loves that. And then they're like, basically they felt like I needed something else. And Prue's like, could be better. Which, like, is British for, this is a piece of shit and I can't believe you put it in my face.
Yeah. And then Laura's salted caramel Florentines.
No, quite a classic Florentine. Snaps quite well.
Prue loves her some snap.
She loves a snap, but guess what? Paul wishes it was dark chocolate. He's like, well, this could have been a winner, but it was milk chocolate. It's like I said in my campaign speech. Needs dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate is the way forward. So then Rowan's waistcoats. And they look, okay.
Not great.
And Paul's like, have you practiced these? Do you remember what we asked last week? To do less, to do less. So why, Rowan? Why, waistcoat man?
Because I liked it. They're like, okay. So there's no snap. And Prue feels like the modeling chocolate just totally ruined the biscuit. Too sweet, too sweet.
Yes, and Noel goes, well, he's a dreamer. Never stop dreaming. So then we go over to Sura.
Yeah.
And her Soan Florentines. And Prue's like, they're like little boats.
These are Florentines.
The crunch is gorgeous. You've created a beautiful, well-balanced Florentine. Unlike that moron over there, waistcoat lover.
But hers doesn't have a snap either. And then we get to Peter's sticky toffee biscuit. It's like, oh, there's a little bent. Well, what do you expect? It sounds like the best pudding in the entire world.
And Paul's like, delicious. I've never had anything like it. And Prue loves the caramel. And Paul calls him clever.
Oh, yeah. And so, and Irmine, hers are sort of like a disaster. There's no snap. They're decorated poorly. And the mango, she didn't like hydrate the mango, so it's really tough. So it's just sort of like a failure overall for her.
Yeah. And then Mark with the C, ginger, cherry, and pistachio.
That was Mark, young Mark, right? No, that was old Mark. Old Mark.
That was older Mark. Yeah, Mark with the C. So they liked
it, even though there was no snap. They did like it, and they found it was like very original and surprising. So he did well with that. And then,
a lot of sour cherry work in this episode too. People are loving the sour cherry this episode.
They do. I find the Great British Bake Off is interesting because you get to sort of see what's like on the mind of the British palate. You know, like there's always like a lot of berries and things. I feel like they love the jellies and jams and berries and things like that. Like if they could. I'm surprised we didn't see more jellies. Like, I thought for sure there'd be like, you know, it's a biscuit with some jelly on it, you know, but...
Yeah, and the U.S. were just like, can we find a way to put more peanut M&Ms in this recipe?
Can we incorporate marshmallows into this biscuit?
So then Linda, flower top Florentine! Paul's like, well, I think you've lost in appearance what a Florentine is. It's flat as a pancake.
Every time, whenever they start a challenge, it seems like, and they warn about some of the pitfalls, like, you know, the challenge of the Florentine is that we want lots and lots of texture. It feels like she does the opposite. Well, I decided to grind it all up into a paste. It's like, no, Linda.
Poor Linda. But guess what Prue says?
But it has a snap. Ooh, I love a snap.
She loves a good snap. They say it's a delicious biscuit, but it's just not a Florentine. So
yeah.
And then they go to Max, which just looks so sad. And they're like, so what exactly is that on the biscuit? He's like, well, I was going for peacock effect. And Paul's like, oh, I thought it was a tennis racket to celebrate Wimbledon.
And he's like, chewy, did you soak the mango? That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's not good. Now Lottie's looks, I mean, they look really great. And it's busy in a way that they really like. And, I mean, they look the best out of all of them. And Paul's sort of like, he's like, I can't find a fault. And he's sort of like poking around and trying to find something terrible. And then he does that thing where he does this handshake. He's like, you have received the Paul Hollywood handshake, the greatest honor for someone who has nothing going on in their lives. Here you go.
And what do you say to that? Thank you. No. Dark chocolate is the way forward? Yes. Well done. So he takes one with him, and she's like, what? As if I'm never going to wash my hand again.
Yeah, I got the Paul Hollywood handshake.
So he goes over to Mark with a K, who's like, oh, I love my fruit chunky. I just love it chunky. And he's like, well, I did get some snap there. That was my line. Sorry, Prue. Sorry, darling.
So, you know, so in the end, like, so Dave is happy that he had, like, a snap in his. And Mac is like, I just need to stay calm. Everything will be fine. And if this doesn't work, I can always go back to my other passion, writing things on old things.
Well, the bakers were able to practice their signature bakes, but they don't have any idea what technical mystery lies ahead. So, Prue...
It's like Jurassic Park. Yeah. Welcome to the technical challenge.
Creating life from DNA found in fossil rocks.
We found a fossilized macaroon, and now you must clone it.
The macaroon are eating the bakers.
Clever macaroon.
So Prue announces macaroon, not macaron, yeah. Macaroon.
12 hand-shaped coconut macaroons. 6 are going to have to be drizzled and filled with chocolate, and 6 are going to be piped with mango curd.
Oh, my God. Mango, stop stalking me.
I know. Like, everything is mango.
Every time I turn around, mango's there.
So, yeah. So, they're all, like, reacting because some of them have never made a macaroon before, a filled macaroon. And then Peter is like, you know, I've made these with my mom, but that was donkeys ago. Donkeys upon donkeys ago.
So, Paul and Prue go to have their evil little talk where they're like, oh, you're really fucking them up with macaroons, aren't you, Prue? And she's like, well, they look simple, but they're trickier than they sound. We've given them coconut flakes, but if they overwhiz, they won't get a nice edge. It will just be a paste and not nearly so pleasant. No snaps incoming.
It's like cut to Linda being like, all right, I'm just going to whiz these coconut flakes for the next 3 minutes. Anyone needs me?
Yeah.
So, and then she's talking about how for the mango, you have to pipe all these walls so that there's like a little well for the mango curd. And timing is super important because they have to be just golden brown. Otherwise, they could be like chewy and sticky in the middle. I was salivating because I love like a fresh homemade macaroon. And have you ever made them before?
Oh, hell yes. I love a macaroon.
So good. And it was actually kind of cool to learn about this because I know that there's like, there are some pitfalls with macaroons, but I kind of feel like even when you make them like a shitty macaroon, it still tastes so good.
Yeah. Coconut and chocolate. Like it's harder to fuck them up than they're making it sound on this. Like yeah. It's still going to be good.
They're still going to be really good.
Yeah. Paul's like, takes me back to when I was a kid again. I was like, geez, I don't want to go there. Fast forward.
So, yeah, so they start making it, and I love, they're so mean with the technical challenge. It goes, step one, make mango curd. It's like, they don't even say how to make the mango. They're just like, you do that part.
Yeah, Laura's like, it's a bit mean, ain't it, mate?
Yeah. And then Matt, he turns to, well, Matt, the host, he asks Dave, he's like, have you made macaroons before? And Dave is like, well, I've made macarons, but not macaroons. Well, that's a no, Dave. They're two different things.
But glad you got to sound snotty for a second. Dave!
Yeah, okay. It's like me being like, hey, have you ever made like a chocolate cake before? Be like, no, but I have cooked lobster once. It's like, no, it's two different things.
And Matt's like, well, that's a different food because they've added a letter. Soon they'll make macaroons because they'll add another letter to it. And Dave doesn't even smile. He's like, get away.
Of course not. So they're all making their curd, and young Mark, his curd is just taking forever to come together because, for I don't know, baking mysteries. So they're doing that, and then Noel's asking Lottie how it felt to receive a Paul Hollywood handshake, and she's like, "I felt nothing.
It was so you're dead inside." She's like, "I peaked for sure." He's like, "Come on, how did it feel when Paul Hollywood's big sausagey fingers stick your hand?" She's like, "Nothing. Please leave me alone."
I tried to imagine what he would look like as a Viking, and even that didn't work.
So now's the blitzing the coconut. Yes. And like, who's going to do it right?
Linda's just like on high puree. Like, "Oh, just, you know, don't mind me. Just going to turn this into a nice little coconut liquid."
Yeah, Linda's over there in her bra, like, her bra. Like drinking condensed milk from a can. Like, "I love condensed milk."
She's basically like Spike, the lead gremlin. Just like, she's in a tiny Corvette.
So now they have to fold the egg whites, and you're halfway through, and Mark with a K is behind.
Yeah.
And Linda's like, "Well, fix the mixture in the bag." Fix the mixture in the bag. Sounds fancy.
Put the mixture in the bag, and then you're going to attach the, the star nozzle. So
now they have to guess how long to cook it, because it doesn't say. So we get some more bending over the oven.
Yeah, and there's a lot of discussion, like, is it 10 minutes? Is it longer? Now, in my mind, I thought it was going to be, like, you know, I was saying, like, 15 to 17 minutes, because that's vaguely how I remember how long mine went in for. And so then when Mac and Dave were both, like, you know, they're both putting theirs in for, like, 25 or 30 minutes, and I was just, like, rolling my eyes, like, "Oh, my God, you guys are so stupid. That's way too long." But, of course, they got the best color on theirs, or at least Dave did.
Yeah, Pete didn't. I was surprised, because I just think Pete's going to win everything, because he's just got, like, youth and positivity, which apparently means something.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, they're not looking golden, but that would take a long time. I'm just going to decorate them."
Yeah. "Listen, I have a moral objection to baking anything that is darker than my skin color."
Yeah, they were. They did look just like him.
Just like as pale as him. Like, you could hold them up and it'd be like his twin. I feel like what I said sounded vaguely racist, and I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, they were just very pale.
Just pale. Cookies. I'm just making a joke about how extremely pale he is.
Yeah. So then Matt is checking on Sora, and he's like, "Well, these ones are quite a bit larger than the others. Is that intentional?" She's like, "No." He's like, "You should say yes. All right, you have to say yes. I did it on purpose. All right, let's try it again. These ones are quite a bit larger than the others. Is that intentional?" She's like, "Yes, that one has chocolate inside, stupid." Like, very good. Good job. Well done.
Then they put them out there on the table. And so the judges come, and the judges are... You know, like, some have good browning. Max had good browning. So did Dave. Dave had a good curd. Lottie's was underbaked. You know, Ermine's was very chewy. And in the end, last place went to Peter. It was super pale macaroons. And then it was old Mark was ninth, and Lottie was eighth. And then there's like a mix of everyone in the middle. And then third place was Mac. Second place was young Mark. So then Dave is looking all proud because he knows he's first place. I'm just like, "Ugh, can't stand you, Dave." Smug face. Smug macaroon face.
"Wow, really excellent. Nice, even, perfect curds. I'll give you 2 snaps. So Dave is like, "Well, that's quite an improvement from ninth last week, isn't it? Isn't it?" He's so intense, that guy.
He really is.
I don't know if he's going to punch me or start crying or, like, make out with me.
It might be a mixture of both. Sort of the British way, yeah. I feel like.
Hot.
I don't know. Based on my experience watching Love Island, UK. So
that's all you need.
It really is all I need in life. All I need in life is Love Island, UK. So now it's time for the showstopper. And the showstopper is a 3D biscuit table setting from a memorable meal you once had. And no, Dave, having a meal while listening to Blink-182 does not count. It does not count, Dave.
I wish I could have just made a 3D something. It was so weird that it was like, it has to be a table setting.
Yeah.
What an exciting challenge.
I know.
Make a tea set with cookies, guys.
You are challenged to make the Flügen set from IKEA.
So they have to deceive the eye. They can make teacups, knives, however they want. They just have to look good, okay? And they're like, you have 4,000 hours. No, just 400,000 hours.
No, just four. Just four. 4 hours.
You'll never make it. Yeah. So then Rowan is like, oh, I'm so relaxed at this point. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm just going to shape my biscuit around my flute if no one minds.
So they get to work, and yeah. Paul's like, I would like to see them utilize biscuits to mold, to scope. The biggest issue will be with the batch baking. Watch. Just watch.
Just watch them ignore the fact that dark chocolate will lead the way. So Rowan's plan is, I want to make something that's an ode to the 90th birthday breakfast tray we got for my great aunt. which sounds absolutely lovely, but also extremely specific.
Yeah, I think it's time to get on Tinder. Like, you need to start meeting some people, okay, buddy?
Yeah, so he's going to make a lighthouse, and there's going to be an actual light on top of a lighthouse, and Paul's just rolling his eyes. He's like, oh, yeah. God, not an actual light. I mean, you couldn't do the waistcoats. You couldn't do Marie Antoinette. You honestly couldn't even walk through the tent properly without running into a pole. So just do something basic. We just need a circle from you, something that looks like a plate.
So he's going to make lemon biscuit hot chocolate tower. And Paul's like, have you practiced? Will you finish in 4 hours? I want to see what you can do. And that's what's so frustrating. Do you understand that? And he's like, oh, yes, I do.
He's like, so are you going to simplify this?
No.
So now we have Peter. His is really appetizing. He's making a gingerbread haggis.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I mean, haggis is, like, famously known to be one of the more, like...
hideous. Some ugly, vile... That is some scary-looking stuff, haggis, okay?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, one of the most acquired of the acquired tastes.
Yes. What is it, like a sausage? Okay, it's a Scottish dish consisting of sheep's or calf's offal mixed
like
with suet, oats, and seasoning and boiled in a bag. When made from an animal's stomach. God.
It's like it's one of those things that I feel like started off as a like making do during a famine kind of dishes, and then somehow it becomes like the dish, you know? Like that's my guess. I don't mean to offend all the Scottish people out there who I know we have at least 2 Scottish listeners because they came and saw us at our New York show like 2 years ago and they were so lovely. So I hope I didn't offend you 2 lovely people. But haggis, I would like to try it so that way if I tried haggis, I can either then say it gives me 2 advantages in life. It means I could say, oh my God, I've had it. And it's not good. So that way I could be that person. Or I could say, actually, I've had it. And it's like really good. And maybe you should try it before you bash it.
Well, I'll be this person. I don't want to eat a fucking cookie based on offal. Okay? I just don't. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not dissing anybody's heritage. I do not want an animal's insides for my cookies.
I'm just like, didn't he have like a tea setting with like William Wallace's face on it or something? Couldn't he have done that? Like some blue paint, you know?
Yeah, come on, guys.
Yeah. So we're really like thinking about it now. Like, what other Scottish?
I am. Things? I opened the haggis page on Google, and now I was staring at it.
What about like a gingerbread bagpipe?
Girl, he needs to do better, Peter. Okay, he's doing so well.
I guess you don't eat a bagpipe. It has to be a table setting.
Anything else.
Don't Scottish people eat bagpipes? I had a bagpipe for dinner last night, so Mom served me the haggis, and I didn't want to have it, so she said, well, if you don't want to have the haggis, then you should have a bagpipe for dinner, so that's what I did, I had a bagpipe.
So Mark with a K is making Ethiopian coffee ceremony tray, and he's using charcoal powder to make everything black, and he's like, it feels nice to get stuck into something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Then Lottie is making a Viking table setting because I fucking love Vikings. They're so cool. They're just so badass.
Yeah, she loves her some Vikings, and so she's making a gingerbread longboat. And she's like, well, I did my ancestry, and it turns out I'm 98% British. It's very upsetting and boring.
Then Laura is like, well, my niece looked like it's not done by a 5-year-old, which I'll admit is a challenge. And then we go see Rowan's lighthouse coming along. And he's like, if you fold first for the tray, it will stay. So I'm going to just fold first, and it's broken.
Oh dear. Well, I'm still going to give it a wig made of shoe pastry. So then the one thing we learned that they can't overwork their dough, because if they overwork their dough, it's bad for the dough. And so Mac is not using molds, even though this is a challenge where they're supposed to use molds. He's going to make a big square, make a big flat thing, and then cut out squares, a flat pack, to make an Art Deco style chai tea set. And already I feel like this is doom. I mean, he is really reluctant to embrace technological innovations. Like, he has a typewriter. He will not mold his biscuit around round things. It's not going to work out well for him.
Yeah, he's not doing himself any favors, because even the judges are like, oh, so you're making a bunch of little squares, really? Yeah. He's like, yes, it's going to be wonderful. And Prue goes, well, it's better to do something you can achieve, which is just like, she might as well have just called you the F word and punched you in the face.
I know. That was her way of saying, you're not very good, are you?
Yeah. In contrast, Dave is working on magical curves inspired by Mexico, called the Waiting for Tacos Tray.
Like, I'm sure everyone in Mexico was like, thanks. Waiting for Tacos, inspired by Mexico.
Wow.
Because that's what you do when you go to Mexico. You go to Mexico and you wait for tacos. Oh, am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Wow. So then we go over to Sura's Ramadan tea tray, Ramadan tea time. Ginger, black pepper. Yeah, there's a lot on this one. She's got a lot of ingredients on this one. And then Mark with the C is doing a basic breakfast with morning coffee and toast.
Yeah, his is literally just like a plate, a knife, a spoon, and a piece of toast. And I was like, oh, okay, that's bullshit. But then his winds up being like really good. So then I'm like, okay, I retract my bullshit, but I still kind of feel it. I kind of feel like he went easy.
Yeah, and then we check on Pete Tagus' biscuit, and he's like, it's lumpy, but it is a sheep's stomach after all. Hee-hee!
I mean, it's not as good as sticky toffee pudding, but then again, what can be? What can be?
Haggis is the sticky toffee pudding of awful.
It's the world's best awful dish.
So let's see here. Mark has a bunch of colorful icing with Mark with a K, that is.
Yeah.
And then Matt is checking on him, and he's like, well, what's gonna happen if you don't finish this properly? And he's like, I don't know, I'm gonna wing it. And he's like, well, that's smart, because there are two mounds, so you can just say it's supposed to be a blob and a nipple. I don't like breasts.
Mark's like, get out of here. So then we go over to Linda, and her whole thing is she's making high tea in Amsterdam.
Of course she is.
Emphasis on high, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, of course. I love it.
And she's using a delicate rose water shortbread. And Prue's like, well, I think that she's quite brave, because, you know, rosewater shortbread, it's, you know, doesn't hold up quite as well. It's so brave. I love, like, talking about bravery because of shortbread. It's like, the bravest thing I ever did was make a rosewater shortbread instead of a gingerbread. Bravery incarnate.
Yeah, you've earned a ginger heart. So they're separating things from molds, and Lottie's like, if this breaks, I can put it together with caramel, but I don't want to flap about with it. And Rowan's like, oh, I may cry if this breaks.
He's getting his light, trying to get his lighthouse out of this weird mold. He's like, what if I play the flute? Will it come out then? Can I coax it out with a beautiful melody?
Yeah, and then, of course, poor Mac breaks his train.
Yeah. Poor Mac.
Lottie's isn't working out very well. And Noel is like, Bakers, you have 200,000 hours.
Yeah. So, but actually they only have like 1 hour left, and Paul and Prue are just like sitting around looking at the room, and they're like, well, we like, I love how we have so many different themes. Like, they're all very imaginative, aren't they? Quite stupid, but imaginative.
I mean, look at that. A Valhalla Viking. How wonderful of her to be so brave. And Paul's like, and Ethiopia over there. And then you've got a Viennese lighthouse.
And then that stupid person there in the corner is trying to make a spoon. Oh, look, he just broke his spoon. The simplest shape you could possibly make outside of a circle. It's a circle with a rectangle attached, and he broke it, idiot.
So Lottie's worried because she's running 6 minutes over, and they've only got half an hour left. Mm-hmm.
And Mac is like, everything is going wrong with him. He's the one who actually broke his spoon, so he doesn't even have a spoon on his thing, and he like is trying to paint, like quote unquote paint, all his biscuits a terracotta color, but it's just more of like a vermilion or something. So it just looks crazy.
Yeah, and Lottie's having trouble with her ship, and Dave is like, well, Mexico is very vibrant and colorful. Tacos, anyone? Let us wait.
They're such a charming people with their tacos and such.
Yeah, and he really is going crazy over there with that icing. My goodness. He actually does a really good job. Like, I want to hate him because you do, but I'm like, wow, he's so talented, and I'll bet he cries a lot. I want to hug him.
Yeah, he was better this week than last week. Last week, I had an irrational hatred of him, and this week, I'm just holding on to last week's hatred, so I'll probably thaw, like, next week. And then Linda actually is very calm, because, you know, she's always messing up.
She's high as fuck, that's why.
Yeah, she's, like, filling in a stencil, and she's like, this is my favorite part right now, just filling in a stencil, which I would imagine would be everyone else's most stressful part, but she's, like, happy as a clam. Yeah,
and hers is coming out really pretty.
Yeah.
And Noel comes up, and he's like, well, this could be your challenge, hmm? And she's like, well, it depends on what it tastes like now, don't it?
And then like Noel is then getting in Lottie's way, which is, I would get so annoyed if I'm trying to make something and I've got like someone up in my face being like, so how's it going? Is it working out? What's going? What's it taste like? You doing well?
I love it because on Top Chef, they can never really say anything, you know? So he's just all over her business. He's like, say it, go ahead. I know you want to say something. Go ahead. Say it. I'm thick skinned. And she's like, I'm ready for you to leave now. You're in my way.
And Sura's just like, they're going to say this is disgusting, and then my mother's going to call me up and say, you made something disgusting, and I'll say, I know, mother, and she says, well, if you knew so much, why'd you call me? And I'll say, you're the one who called me, mother, and she'll say, why are you so stupid, stupid mother?
And then we see Pete filling his haggis with like this pink, this pink goo. Oh,
yeah. I know, it was like the slime from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
So, time's up. And Rowan has made his lighthouse. It's like a lighthouse, like a tea kettle. And there is an actual light on top, just like blinking sadly. It was like, it felt like the tea kettle was saying, please, someone put me out of my misery. Blink, blink, yeah. Blink, blink, blink.
And Matt's like, that's a lighthouse. It's a bit smaller than a lighthouse. So he made lemon biscuit for his, and Prue says it's lovely flavor, and Paul's like, it's been worked too much, like rubber. What a shame.
It's too thick. And Prue goes, well, I feel it's not your best. Which, again, is British for, get this shit out of my face.
Yeah, you suck! You suck!
And then Mark, older Mark, he brings up his English breakfast, and it actually looks amazing. It looks so good. But unfortunately, the toast biscuits are a little squishy in the middle, because of course it has to be thick, because we came up with the ridiculous idea of making toast. But it's a little squishy, which also means no snap.
You snapless wonder. So then Hermine has made her Sakura tea set, and it looks really pretty, I think. Yeah. And Paul's like, well, I'm not convinced on the flavor. It's bitter. It's got to taste good as well, I mean. It's like, geez, Paul.
Yeah, Paul's very unforgiving.
No kidding.
Laura
He's such a hot bitch.
But isn't the bitchiness what makes him hot? So
those blue eyes. Oh my god, those gorgeous blue eyes. Darling.
It almost makes you forget about the fact that his last name is Hollywood. So Laura comes up with her afternoon tea, but they really don't like the fact that it's basically three circles, and then the bottom's just like cardboard. And he's like, he's like, 4 hours of work, and this is all you can give me. I just am not sure where the work is. I think something more niche than this.
Yeah, make an effort next time, huh, Bob? Because she made like a cake tray thing.
Right.
And they were like, no. So Linda is next, and she's like, it's IT in Amsterdam. Then Prue's like, wow, excellent. Well done. Well, the biscuit has worked too much. Always going to be an issue with shortbread, but design is pretty.
Well, I don't care. I'm just happy it's in one piece. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going up to the shed to have a pint with my husband.
Gonna have a pint, you dirty girl. So let's see here. Mark with a K. Mm-hmm. Prue's like, it looks very African.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, well, I think it looks goofy, but like that's fine or something.
And then they take a bite and they just both start like they start coughing.
Because it's made out of coffee. And Prue's like, you'll be awake all night, Paul. And then they go over to Dave's Mexican waiting for tacos tray. And it really does look pretty.
It's very pretty. It's like, yes, I named it Waiting for Tacos because, as we all know, that's the only thing you can do in Mexico is wait around for tacos.
And Paul loves it. It's very amazing and believable.
Yeah, it is beautiful. It really is, even if the name is tone deaf.
Yeah.
So then
Mac.
Oh, poor Mac. So Mac has an
Indian chai tea set. Yeah, and it looks really sad. And Prue's like, well, I know the teapot's not molded, but I like the look. The tray is a bit bendy, though.
Oh, it's, you know, it sort of has the feeling of a piece of pastry that was made by someone who's still holding on to old notions of what life is. Sort of like a novelist at a typewriter, am I right?
So Paul thinks it's okay. It's not bad flavor, but too much ginger, I guess. Is that what he says? I don't know. My notes
get
crazy.
It's a failure because they were looking for molding, and he just did. He's gone flat, and so they try to like give him one positive piece of encouragement with his tea kettle, but it's basically like, you're going home. There's no reason for this, to even discuss this any further.
And then they go to Sura's Ramadan tray, which I thought was pretty, but it's a little sloppy.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, normally you're so neat. Great flavor, though.
I'm going to have to start calling you Sura Not Neat. How about that? Burn.
Peter, biscuit burns. Wrote that.
Biscuit
what
burns,
does biscuit
yeah.
burns mean?
So
biscuit
he has,
burn. Ooh, you gave me a biscuit burn. You better back it up with those biscuit burns.
wait, what?
I didn't like your biscuit. Ooh, biscuit burn.
Biscuit burn with his haggis.
No, his biscuit burns a little bit. I guess what I was writing. Bit.
But Prue thinks it's very witty, actually. It's very witty that you would make something that most of the world finds utterly disgusting and then turn that into a biscuit. That's quite witty, quite witty.
Love it. May I have some stem cells? So then they go over to Lottie's Viking boat, and Prue loves it, but Paul's like, well, the boat's, shame you ran out of time. Well molded, looks a bit rough.
Well, I'm so glad you decided to turn your biscuit into a hollowed out trunk of a tree. Is that what this is supposed to be?
And Prue's like, well, it is Viking. And Lottie's like, thank you, Prue.
Yeah, Prue goes, well, it's Viking. I mean, it's been under the ground for the past 500 years or so. Is that the look you were trying to go for with your showstopper? Something that's been buried in the ground for 500 years? Because you succeeded.
So then Mac, you know, now they're done judging. And Mac's like, if I make it through, it would be quite a miracle. And Rowan's like, well, I think my position is a bit more precarious, really. I think it's stepped more over on the slidey step to oblivion. Mm.
And which reminds me, I did see a slidey step to oblivion at an antique store. I have to go remember to go buy that for the apartment.
So who did the best, everybody?
Well, the marks were at the top, and Dave is at the top, and Matt's like, oh, top marks for the marks. Ooh.
When it comes to going home, it's definitely between Mac and Rowan.
Rowan doesn't seem to take any advice, but on the other hand, Max was bloody terrible.
Yeah, and basically Mac isn't blowing her mind.
Yeah, not blowing
basically
her mind.
Mac has no snap, is what Prue thinks.
No snap, no molding. So Dave is the star baker, which is obvious. He did an amazing job. And then the one going home is poor Mac. So Mac is going home. Rowan is shocked. He's like he gives the most stereotypical face. If you ever think, hey, what is like a shocked old British dandy look like? It's like Rowan's face that moment. He's like,
I know. Whoa, Rowan.
I love Rowan. And I hope he has an amazing week next week.
People take it so well when they lose on this show. Everyone's like, well, it was wonderful being here. What a privilege. I've met new people. I've made friends. I've written 3 books. Amazing.
Because they're not American. Americans are like, I didn't come here to make friends. And in Britain, they're like, well, you know, at least I've made some friends out of it.
I actually did come here to make friends. And I've done it. So,
in a way, we've all won. Because I've made friends.
Yeah, and Dave calls home. He's like, guess what? I'm Star Baker! And then you just hear his wife, I'm assuming, like, I'm so proud of you. By the way, we got a call from that hit and run where you called that old lady a C-word, and she wants a payment, so...
What's my name again?
And that brings us to the end of the Great British Baking Show, or Bake Off.
Bake Off, whatever you want to call it. So fun. I love this show, and I'm excited as we go on and on, as we get to know more and more of their personalities. So thank you all for listening. What's on the next episode? Oh, next episode is a big one. It's the season premiere of The Real Housewives of Orange County. Can't wait to see what sort of a train wreck it's going to be, because we know it's going to be awful.
Yikes. Awful. Yeah, we've got some scary feelings about this season of Orange
nervous,
County.
But
we really are. But guess what? We are going to soldier on, because that's what we do. Stiff up a lip.
That's right. Keep calm and carry on.
Yeah.
So anyway,
all right, everybody. Thanks a lot for being here. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.